Good morning and greet you in Jesus' name. Been blessed by the service and especially the Sunday school lesson and those verses, those chapters from Romans 6 and 7. Some kind of difficult verses to understand and possibly know exactly what all Paul was talking about and how to apply them, but I trust as we look into God's word and avail ourselves, study it, he's going to have some answers for us. I was impressed too with the song that Leland sang, "Since I Have Been Redeemed." I think Curtis mentioned the first part of verse 2. I was looking at, and I was impressed with the last part of verse 2 where it says, to do, I'm not exactly sure exact words, but to do Christ's will is my highest prize. That's when we've been redeemed, we have a different reason to live, and we have different goals, we have different ambitions, different plans, our plans change. To do Christ's will is now all important. That's our highest prize. That's what it's all about. Since I have been redeemed, I will look to glorify God in all I do. Happy Mother's Day. It's good to see all the moms and mothers here, and God bless you and your responsibilities. I've actually chosen to bring a Mother's Day message. Dads, listen in. Some of it applies to you, some of it not so much. But I believe when we go to God's word, why there's truth there that we can apply to our life, whoever we are. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. I would like to read the first 10 verses. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 22 of chapter 1. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." I've titled the message this morning, "Moms That Make a Difference." All you moms and mothers-to-be, I want you for just a little bit to put yourself in Moses' mother's shoes. Her name, by the way, it's not given in this passage, but her name is Jochebed. Put yourself in Jochebed's shoes. At this point, when we come to the story of Moses and his birth, Jochebed was married to Amram, and they already had two children. And Aaron was about three, and Miriam possibly five, but two young children. They were living in Egypt, and they were being treated as slaves. And you read how this was going. You read the first 14 verses of chapter 1, and it gives some of the story of how Pharaoh just put it to them and put taskmasters over them. And so I believe when we read this, we really don't think about what all the stresses were that these people were under. Especially, when I think of Amram, probably a lot of his time was filled up with making bricks. That's probably about all he got done in a day's time. And here they were caring for the children. Probably that primarily fell to Jochebed because of Amram's responsibilities and as a slave. And then to top it off, Pharaoh had just recently decreed that any baby boys that were born to Israelite women were just to be simply tossed in the river. And these were the conditions that Jochebed was living under, and she's expecting another baby. Put yourself in those shoes. I'm not a mother, but I am a dad. And under normal circumstances, there's, at least this is how it was for me, under normal circumstances, there's a certain amount of stress that surrounds another child being welcomed into your home, expecting another baby. There's a certain amount of stress and anxiety, I'll call it that, that surrounds that. Add to that the foreboding feeling that you would have that if this baby is a little boy, you're going to be expected to just simply throw him in the river. That's awful. But that's the conditions that this family was living under. And just before the birth of Moses. Well, time went on, and Jochebed had a little baby. And he was a boy. And verse 2, it says that when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. She took one look at Moses, and there's no way I'm throwing him in the river. And she hid him for 3 months. We can only imagine what it might have been like trying to hide a 3-month-old or 1 to 3-month-old. How could you do that? And after 3 months, it became probably pretty much impossible for them to hide this little fella any longer. And Jochebed got creative, and she she took for him an ark. And I don't know exactly what that was, but I like to think of it as some sort of a box, and she camouflaged it with, I like to think she was trying to camouflage this thing with bulrushes. And then she waterproofed it with pitch and slime, and then she did the hard part. She put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. I just can't quite imagine that. The predicament that these parents were in pulls at the heart of any parent, but I believe it especially pulls at the heart of a mother. And probably in a way that we can't quite imagine unless we've been in a situation like that. The thing that inspires me about this account is that Moses' parents, and especially Jochebed, Moses' mother, did what she could to save little Moses' life. She did what she could. And Hebrews 11:23, there's not a lot said about this in the Bible, but Hebrews 11:23, we have these verses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The things that Jochebed did were because of her faith in God, and because she believed that God could do something here that looked impossible. It was virtually impossible for this family to have a little boy and somehow hide him from Pharaoh and his men. But Jochebed knew that she served a God that could do something, and it was by faith. The situation that the children of Israel were facing in Egypt at this time had to be discouraging and overwhelming, and I'm sure that Jochebed asked this question. You know, when she was hiding little Moses, and I don't know where she was hiding him before she put him in the ark and laid him in the river. I don't know how she did all that, but she had to be asking the question, then what? You know, okay, I can hide him for 3 months, I can hide him for maybe 6 months, but then what? I believe it was her faith in God that carried her through and helped her to continue to take action. I can't hide Moses anymore. And so she went to plan B, and that was making a little ark and putting it in the river. And she continued to do the little things day by day that she needed to do. And it was her faith that carried her through. And as she continued to take action and do those little things, it made a huge difference in the life of Moses. And not only in little Moses' life, but in the life of the whole country, of the whole nation of the children of Israel. Made a huge difference. There were a lot of things that I'm sure felt out of control to Moses' mother. And the little things that she was doing, I'm sure she was thinking, yeah, but what difference is this going to make? What's this going to do? What's this going to help? And then you have the years that, and okay, she took him, put him in the little ark by the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, and she was hired as a nurse. And I'm gonna say she probably had maybe 5 or 6 years with Moses. That varies. There's different thoughts on how long Moses probably lived there, but I'm sure that she was putting all these efforts into Moses, and she knew that he was going to go back. He was going back to the palace in Egypt, and he was going to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was going to live there. And there had to be a lot of questions that she was asking, and we're not given a lot of details, but somehow, in those 5 years, in those 6 years, Jochebed made the things she was doing made a huge difference in Moses' life, and there was something embedded into his little mind that went with him the rest of life and throughout life, and he didn't forget it. And he understood, somehow he understood who he was. And I like to think that it was because of the teaching, the actions of Jochebed in those first 5 years. I really believe it was. So, to all you moms out there this morning, it's the little things that you do day by day in the lives of your family and in the lives of your children that add up to making a huge impact on their lives and their futures. And this morning, for a little while, I'd like to think about the little things that you moms can do that can make a difference and will make a difference in the lives of your children. And some of these points I'm getting from the story of Jochebed and Moses and Amram, and many of them I'm just kind of putting some points down, and I'm by no means getting them all, and I'm probably missing some really important ones. I have about 5 points, and I'm not, there's a lot of things that we could talk about that moms do and should do that we don't have the time to talk about and won't get around to discussing them all. But number one, and I believe this is probably one of the most important for you as a mom, is be a praying mom. And this starts before your children are even born. My mind immediately goes to Hannah. And you have the story of Hannah in, what is it, 1 Samuel 1 and 2 possibly. And when she took Samuel up the first time to the temple, and she was talking to Eli, and she said this to Eli. She says, she showed him Samuel, and she said, "For this child I prayed." And I believe Hannah was more than just that. Hannah was praying that God. Hannah had wished for a son, and had not been able to have a child, and I believe she was praying. You read the story in 1 Samuel 1 there. It talks about how she prayed. I can't collect the words there without turning to it, and I'm not going to, but she was desperate for a son, for a child, and she prayed for that child, and God gave her a son. And I believe Hannah's prayer was not only that God would give her a son, but that God would bless her with the wisdom that she needed to bring that child up. There was another case where she had only a couple years with her little boy, and I believe she made a huge difference in his life. And I can't help but believe that Jochebed prayed for God's protection on her baby when she was expecting a little child, a baby. And she knew the threat that was hanging over it if it was a little boy. I have this sneaky feeling that Jochebed was probably praying for a little girl. Don't you think? Jochebed was probably praying for a little girl. Then it would have, some of that would have went away. Well, after Moses was born, I'm sure she prayed that he would be a quiet little boy. And as she did her best to hide him, I think she was praying for that too. This morning, the challenge that I'd like to leave with you moms is this. Pray for your children. Pray for your children and pray with your children. I believe that A child that hears the sincere prayer of his mother is introduced to the loving care of their Heavenly Father in a very real way, and in a way that you can't introduce them to their Heavenly Father in a better way, really, than to hear a sincere prayer of a mother. There's a lot of things about bringing children into this world and raising children that we can't control, and we just as may as well not try. But as a mother, you can communicate directly with the one that is in control of everything and knows everything about everything. And that's a challenge I'd like to leave with you moms this morning, is spend lots of time talking to him about your children and your family. Number two, another thing that moms can do that makes a difference in the life of their child, and I wasn't sure how to word this one, but be your child's biggest fan. But believe in your children. And where I'd like to go here is in Exodus 2 and verse 2. When she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And that word goodly simply means fair or beautiful. And then I was thinking about the verse in Hebrews 11:23, where it says when Moses' parents saw that he was a proper child, I kind of wondered what that means. And I went to my Strong's Concordance, and it says, it has the idea of handsome. When they saw that he was a handsome child. Well, I think it's kind of natural, and I think it's right for a mother to think that her children are cute and adorable, probably more so than anybody else's. And I believe that's right. And it's there's something wrong if you think your child is ugly. You have a desire, or you have there's something natural about loving your child and seeing them as important to you. Well, eventually, all children get past that cute and adorable stage. And sometimes, you get to the point where instead of being handsome child or beautiful and cute, they seem more like a naughty little brat than an angel, and like we've been talking about. The challenge I'd like to leave with you moms this morning is love them anyway. And when they act like that, when they act like the naughty little brat, that's a sure sign that they need a mom. That's a sure sign. Love them anyway, and help them get past that stage. Your children need to feel your love and acceptance of them in spite of their mistakes and their imperfections. Make sure they know that you want them to succeed, and encourage them to do their best, even though a lot of times you actually doubt it too. Actually, you have your own doubts about how successful they're going to be. Help them to understand that you at least want them to succeed. Never give them the feeling like you almost, yeah. Help them to understand that you want them to succeed. Be satisfied and okay with their best. Even if they're not a winner, and even if they aren't the best, You know, there's something about any parent, and maybe moms in particular, I don't know, that likes when their child is a winner and likes when they're the best at what they're doing. And there's something, I believe that's natural for us. But be satisfied and okay with your children when they do their best, even if it isn't the best, and even if it isn't, doesn't make a winner out of them. Be careful how much you compare your children to others. And I think a little competition is good. I think competition's good, and there's something about having someone to compete against and to compare yourself to. But never come across to your children with, "Come on, Johnny can do this. Why can't you?" You know, we can come across like that, that's can be very harmful and detrimental. Number three, be present. Be there for your children. Be present. And moms, I think this is a safe goal for you to reach for. You ought to log more present hours with your child in his first 6 years than anyone else. You ought to, the time you spend with your child, there ought to be more of your hours with that child than anyone else, even with dad, than his time with dad, I believe. And I guess maybe I'm just going from my frame of reference, but when I was growing up, and especially I just remember when I was, you know, lower grades in school, and you know, when mom wasn't around, that was a bad day. When mom was doing something else or gone, or I'd come home from school and mom wasn't there, dad was the one in charge, and it just didn't seem right. When I got home from school, it seemed like she always had, you know, a little snack, peanut butter and crackers or something, you know, and she always had something for us. And it seemed like just she was usually there. And in the unlikely event that she wasn't, things just didn't seem quite right. Be present for your children. They need you. They need you as a mom. Read to them. Play games with them. Take walks with them. Take time to enjoy the little things that make them tick. Include them in your housework, baking, cleaning, you name it, yard, garden work. You know, many times, those little helping hands it might not get done as thoroughly, or it might not reach the bar that you would like it to be done on. If you had done it yourself, you'd have done it a little different. But who cares? Who cares if it doesn't get done quite as well, if it gives your child, that little child, a sense of belonging and a sense of self-worth? Who cares about all that other stuff? Be present for your children. It will make a difference. Number four, communicate. And that means talking. That means listening. A lot of listening. Encourage your little children to be inquisitive. And by that I mean, and you're probably thinking like, that's not normal to have to encourage them to be inquisitive. And what I'm saying is, don't discourage their questions. A lot of times these little guys have a lot of questions, and they as they learn to talk, and there's just, don't discourage that. Encourage it. Answering their questions is a great way to encourage conversation and communication. You know, you can't expect to ignore your little people's questions, and then when they're 14 or 16, come to you for advice. You can't expect that. If you discourage their questions when they're 1 and 2 and 4, don't expect that when they're 14 and 16, they're going to come running to you for advice. Probably isn't going to happen. Take time to answer the questions when they're 3 and 4, and stay close to them. Listen to them. Listen with your heart. Listen to them and care about them. And then when they're 14 and 16, a much better chance that they know where to go when they have questions. Number 5. Encourage your children to be where and who God wants them to be. And I think it's pretty natural for parents, and maybe especially moms, to have dreams and plans for their children, things that they think would be nice if, you know, this is how they'd turn out, and this is, maybe even this is who they'd marry, or this is where they'd live, all those things. But never let those dreams get in the way of God's plans for them. So often we have our plans, our ambitions, our goals for our children, and they're good ones. They're not bad. They're good. But if we hang on to them tenaciously and push them, and we actually get in the way of God's higher plan for them. And there's a way for us to encourage them to move on and to give them something to strive for, and yet stay out of the way and let God work in their life. Never be the pressure in your child's life that keeps them from being the person that God wants them to be. Never, you know, I feel sometimes, and I've known in my own experience, that it's possible for us to put a certain amount of pressure on, that this is really what we'd like, and this is what, and really, let's allow God to have his way in their life. And it takes wisdom, and it takes, I believe, the direction of the Holy Spirit to help us through those things. And I'm glad that it's not just a mom that has to try and figure all this out on her own, but that's why God created marriage, made marriage, and we can work through those things together. There's a lot of things that I know that I probably should have said and didn't. There's a lot of things when it comes to child training and accountability and that we didn't touch on. But I trust that you'll use the things that we did talk about and allow it to be a challenge to you. God has given each of you moms a unique responsibility and a unique opportunity to make a difference in the lives of your children, and especially when they're young. And I think about it, both Hannah and Jochebed. It was in those first 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is, I don't think we realize how much of a difference we can make in those first couple of years. Moses' mother had no idea what God's plans were for Moses and how her input in his life affected that. I don't think she had a clue. I mean, to her, Moses was just another little Israelite boy that needed to be kept out of the river. That's who Moses was, and she wanted the best for Moses. And God took her efforts, and he moved Moses along and made a shepherd out of him for 40 years and then made him a leader in Israel for 40 years. The challenge that I'd like to leave with you moms this morning is this. You have no idea what God's plans are for your children either. You don't know that. Just purpose to make a positive difference in those small yet insignificant ways that only a mother can. God bless you in that. Let's kneel for prayer.